Let your word, O God, break upon our hearts, break them open, so that this day, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we may enter into the coming Holy Week ready to meet Jesus. Amen. Our first reading today comes from the Psalms, Psalm 118. It is from the portion of the Psalms in the Hebrew Bible called the Hallel, the Hallelujah Psalms, the Psalms of Praise, fitting with this day of parades and celebration. Listen now for the joyful word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and God has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. The word of the Lord. Who doesn't love a parade? Who doesn't love a parade? Who doesn't arrive early to get a great view of those coming down the road? Who doesn't come clutching an extra blanket or a coat or something warm, a cup of coffee or hot chocolate? Who doesn't love the anticipation, the excitement that builds with every passing moment as the time for the parade to pass by gets closer? Who doesn't feel the energy surge as people gather one by one, groups, and the crowd grows in layers? Who doesn't jostle and jockey one's way to the front for the absolute perfect spot? Who doesn't join in with multitudes of shouts and cheers when the one who everyone has come to see approaches? Who doesn't wave wildly as a gesture of respect and excitement and awe? And who doesn't stand at the edge waiting and hoping for that moment when eyes lock and this public moment becomes personal? Who doesn't love a parade? Our parade this morning invites us to recall and reenact an event that takes place in the life of Jesus as he enters into Jerusalem. The setting this morning of our texts, a city well known for its festivals and the absolute place to be when it came to celebrating a Jewish holiday. Today, you and I have, in a way, come to the holy city for the feast of the Passover, that high, holy time that marks the Israelites' miraculous deliverance from bondage and slavery in Egypt and their salvation from death. We have gathered here, and we gather in our imagination with the others who also gathered far and near on that day so many years ago to join with the population of the city to get ready to watch the parade. And we have shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest to Jesus. Jesus, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus, the one who has healed the sick, who has cured the blind and lame, fed the multitudes, called men and women to ministry, spoken truth in love, and preached about a new and very different kingdom. Jesus, the one who is going to bring the nation of Israel back to its former glory as in the days of King David. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, in Hebrew, Yeshua, the one who saves. Hear now our first reading from the Gospel of Mark. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, on the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of the Lord. Palm Sunday is for sure a day of celebration, one of parades and palms and processional hymns. Like the people who gathered along the road leading into Jerusalem, we too have gathered here to glimpse the Son of God. Our excitement about the triumphal entry still energizes us. And we come with our coats and our cloaks and our bags and maybe even our cups of coffee. We have found our way, I can see, to our favorite spots. And we have come to stand with one another who also want to shout praises for the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And like the people lining those streets, we too have waved our branches. We shout Hosanna, a word with many meanings. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, deliver us. Hosanna, liberate us. Set us free. Hosanna, be victorious. Hosanna in all those meanings, Hosanna in the highest. And we have come this morning believing that all is well, that this parade and this procession and our palms are great, that our shouts of Hosanna are sincere and authentic. But we have a problem. We have a problem. Our hosannas are broken. And by broken, I mean flawed. I mean flimsy. I mean limited. Broken by our own desires and wishes, broken by our selfishness and self-centeredness and short-sightedness. We have shouted, Hosanna, to Jesus, save us, deliver us. And yet, we do not have any intention of leaving behind whatever has bound us. We say, Jesus, lead us. And yet what we really want is for Jesus to follow us and to do our will. We shout, Jesus, Hosanna, liberate us. But we kind of like the things that aren't good for us. We shout out, Hosanna, Jesus, be victorious. And yet, we benefit from and are complicit to the power structures of this world. How quickly that excitement, that energy around that parade seems to have gone. The parade ends. And the shouts fade. And the excitement dwindles down to silence. Crowds have thinned and begun to drift away, leaving behind all the marks, the trash, the debris of what has been. Abandoned coats, trampled blankets, broken palms, and broken hosannas. The road to the cross is littered with them. And just as quickly as that parade has passed by, we realize that Jesus has passed by, moving into the city on his way to an upper room. An upper room where he will meet his friends, his followers, for the Passover feast. Into the city to an upper room where he will say, this is my body, broken for you. Into the city, to an upper room, into a place where he will discover that one of his own, one of his closest friends, has betrayed him. A friend who has chosen his own way rather than the way of his master. And Jesus has made his way into the city, on his way to face another crowd who will shout a very different set of words. Hear now our second reading from the Gospel of Mark. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again. "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Two very different scenes. Two very different crowds. Two very different sets of words. Those people that had gathered earlier to greet Jesus with such joy and such excitement have turned. Those hosannas of the triumphal entry, those hosannas of our Palm Sunday, have become the crucifixion cries of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. And we sit here and we cannot help but wonder, how could this happen? How could this happen? The men and women, maybe the children, in those crowds are not any different from us. We all stand at that roadside excited to Jesus, excited to see him and ready to follow where he leads. We all wave our palm branches and we shout Hosanna to the highest. We all sit here and think we do not betray our Lord. And we can't imagine that we would turn on our Jesus. But it happens every day. It happens every day, brothers and sisters, when we choose to stand anywhere other than alongside the one who came in the name of the Lord. It happens every day when we side with the powers that be rather than with the powerless. It happens every day when we choose just us and not justice for all. It happens every day when we neglect the poor, when we ignore the stranger and the alien in our midst, when we turn our faces to our neighbors. It happens every day when we call for someone to save us without any sacrifice at all on our part. We cannot deny that just as loudly as we have shouted Hosanna, we are also in that crowd that shouts, "Crucify him." While Palm Sunday begins with a parade into Jerusalem, the way forward leads to the cross. The palm that you are holding or have held in your hand this morning symbolizes both the joy and the darkness of this day. It symbolizes both your desire to follow Jesus and your brokenness that keeps you from doing so. In just a moment, you're invited to bring forward that palm and lay it down at the foot of the cross, while we sing beneath the cross of Jesus. Consider it an act of confession and a claim of Jesus' wondrous love. Before we can celebrate the joy of Easter, we must endure the darkness of Good Friday. In the shadow of the cross, at the darkness of the tomb, we will stand in silence with no words to say at all. And yet, friends, do not despair. The final word is God's, has always been God's, will continue to be God's. God is at work despite our broken shouts of crucify Him. Jesus will rise from the tomb. Jesus will conquer death. Despite all of our broken hosannas, God through Jesus the Christ has saved us and has liberated us from sin's eternal deadly hold. The time is coming when we will shout again. The time is coming when we again will gather with one another. The time will come again when we again will look for Jesus. And when we do, we will clamor not for a man on a donkey, not of a parade, but clamor for the sign of an empty tomb. We will lay down not our garments and our palms, but our hearts. And we shall call out, not save us, but hallelujah. The time will come, but those are not for today. Today we stand silent. Today our hosannas are broken.